Father, I just put myself in your hands right now. You know the struggle I had putting this together and the many distractions that got in the way of it, Lord. I just pray and trust that it is of you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is in this message. I ask you to bless your word, Lord, and to make it go out there and achieve and succeed in blessing people, Lord, and achieving what you intend it to do. In Jesus' name, open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and guide my mouth and my mind and my heart, Lord, for your sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So today's sermon is entitled, The Signs, The Signs. So as I looked out of my kitchen window this morning when I wrote this sermon, there were signs of spring establishing. The blackbirds had been singing earlier to establish their territory, and now the male birds were arguing and flapping around and jostling and trying to be territorial over what was theirs and what wasn't theirs. Saw them bullying and trying to work out which female was theirs and which one wasn't, you know, that kind of thing. Normal, natural things. I saw for my first time this year a rook carrying a long twig. I watched it as it flew across to the rookery near the parish church, obviously starting to build or repair their nests. Snowdrops have been in bloom for many days now, and the daffodils and the tulips and even crocuses are coming to bloom. And it's lovely to see. It really does cheer a man up, and maybe a woman too. It's good when things keep on happening reliably. And you see the seasons change, don't you? Let's look at Matthew 16, 1 to 3. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It'll be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They couldn't interpret the signs of the times. The signs of the times, there are many of them, and the older you get, the more likely you are to see them as being significant. If you are old, you will know what things are normal when you see them. Like I see the rooks and the flowers, and that's all normal. It's good. I like that. And when you see snowdrops coming up and the birds doing what they normally do this time of year, I'm encouraged that all is well and God is being faithful and has not lost a grip and can keep things running according to the power of his name and his word. It's normal and it's reliable. But there are some signs that seem very extreme and strange to me. We've all discussed the signs that Jesus mentioned in Luke 21. And these are some of them. Luke 21, 10 to 11 says, "And then he said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places and fearful events and great signs from heaven.'" We all I've heard that a lot, haven't we, really? And some people might say, well, actually, it's always been like that. There's always been wars. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been famines. And to some extent, they'd be right, wouldn't they? There has. But that doesn't mean to say that we're not in the last days. However, this is the kind of thing that you might hear from them, from 2 Peter 3, 3 to 4. Peter saying, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they will say this, they will say, "Where is this coming then that he promised? Where is it? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it did since the beginning of creation." That's if they believe in creation. And let's be honest, to some extent, it does go on as it did since the beginning of creation. And I've just explained what I've seen recently. That's been happening a long time. But there are some things that are definitely different nowadays. One of the problems with living in this age is knowing when you've actually heard the truth or not. The term fake news is being used more and more, it's catching on, and has been made famous by the new American president, Donald Trump. If you're wise, you won't believe every news report and newspaper, whether it's written on paper, heard on the radio, or found on the internet. It's very easy to get carried away with notions and ideas that are sensational. After all, that's what sells the news in the first place. If it wasn't sensational, nobody would want to read it. But fake news is not a new phenomenon either. In Mark 13, 5-7, Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." So there will be an end, but it's still to come. And in Matthew 24, 24-26, "For false Christs and prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, those people who are God's sons and daughters, if that were possible. And see, I've told you ahead of time, so if anyone tells you there he is out in the desert, don't go out. Or here he is in the inner room, don't believe it." Don't believe it. Fake news. People have said there are two things that you can't avoid while you're alive living on the earth: death and taxes. Death and taxes. It was an issue in Jesus' time as well. Taxes. They were all talking about it because it was all to do with the Roman occupation and things like that. In Matthew 17:24-27, we read this: "After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, 'Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?'" The 2 drachma tax? "Yes, he does," he replied. And when Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "Well, from others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go down to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." That was an amazing miracle, wasn't it? So many things. Even Peter and Jesus paid taxes. Have you ever thought that? And they paid it on this occasion by being fishermen. Money and tax came up on another occasion too. The Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. Maybe they were about to fabricate some more fake news. In Matthew 22:17-21, this is what happened. "Tell us then," they said to Jesus, "what is your opinion, Jesus? What's your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription on the coin?" "Caesar's," they replied. And then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." Now, most of the money we use in this country does not have Caesar's portrait and inscription on it, but it does, generally speaking, have the Queen's. So I guess if you bring the previous scripture into modern UK times, Jesus might have said something like, give to the Queen what is the Queen's, and give to God what is God's. So you could say nothing's changed over maybe 2,000 years. Or has it? Or has it? It's true that UK cash usually has something on it that relates to the monarch's UK government. But we don't always use cash, do we? In fact, we're tending to use it less and less as time goes by. Agreed? If you have a healthy UK bank account, then most of your monthly transactions take place without you even having to handle the money at all. Either you do it through a direct debit, you do it through a standing order or online transfer. It's become remarkably easy to handle your finances, even without seeing the money move. You could say buy or sell a car, a house, or almost anything in the world without even getting up out of your armchair. All you need is access to a computer, a phone or a tablet connected to the internet. What makes it safe and what makes any online banking safe is a combination of personal passwords and strong encryption of the data that's being transferred between the bank and you, you and the buyer and you. But in reality, nothing is being transferred except information. Most of this is dependent on a system nowadays called blockchain. Who's heard of blockchain? I thought so. Dependent on a system known as blockchain. If you buy from outside the UK, someone will work out the exchange rate for you, won't you? Won't they? When you hire a car and go on holiday, somebody's worked it out and you pay this much. It's all been done for you. And you will end up paying any VAT, VAT that's necessary, but it's all done automatically, and it's incredibly and somewhat worryingly for me, easy. It's incredibly easy. But it's gone beyond that now. Whereas cash was king not long ago, the time is fast approaching where it has become increasingly inconvenient, and I suspect in the not too distant future, unusable or irrelevant. About 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, I was pleased to take initial deposits or rent payments in cash. That way you knew you had it in your hand. It's been paid, I've got it, you haven't. And the business was complete. You hand over the cash, you take the cash, job done. Nowadays, because there are very few banks on the high street, paying cash into your bank account means you have to queue at the post office, if there's still a post office, and going through a necessary paperwork exercise, which has not been made to be easy. The funds used to take about 2 days to appear in your account, and if it was on a Friday, you'd be surprised to see it any time on Monday, especially if it was a bank holiday Monday. So if you had the cash, try to put it in your bank account through a post office. You could put it in, say, on Friday afternoon, and you wouldn't see it till Tuesday. It's not that bad now, but you get the point. Inconvenient. So cash is much less attractive and convenient for many people, including me. But it's still very attractive for a certain kind of person. And that person loves cash because it's practically untraceable regarding tax. And if you're in government, that would be very significant to you. It's almost like bartering. I'll do this for you if you give me this. I mean some pound notes. £20 notes. I'll fix your car for 60 quid or whatever, right? No tax. You would have to admit that, wouldn't you? In other words, some people will still accept and give you a discount for cash simply because they can decide to declare it to Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, HMRC, as earnings or not. Or not. It's called tax evasion. It's illegal. But you try and stop it. Thus, quite simply, avoiding paying income tax. No trace. Can't prove it. And I've come across this within the last 3 days where somebody's recorded somebody admitting who owns a garage, who gets paid in cash, who doesn't declare it as earnings. And she's thinking of taking him to the cleaners over it. Nothing to do with me, I just happen to know this. So I know it goes on because it just has done. And this woman has got a recording of this bloke saying exactly that. Probably inadmissible evidence. What's this got to do with the sermon? I'll try and get to the point shortly. It's very interesting though, isn't it? I think it's really interesting. So can you imagine then how much extra tax the UK government would have at its disposal if everybody paid tax? If everybody paid tax, would the tax go up or down? The tax rate? It would go down, wouldn't it? Because everybody's paying it, so you have to pay less. All right, pessimist. There's a real businessman over there. Everything goes up. So nowadays then, you can pay for things using your mobile phone. You can use a contactless credit card. It wasn't long ago you couldn't even use a credit card or a bank card. Now you can use it contactless. You don't even have to remember your PIN. You don't have to remember your PIN. You can check yourself out at many large supermarkets without even talking to anybody. You don't need to be able to speak English. You just scan your items and pay. And I've heard recently that you can even walk into some supermarkets in some places, I don't know where they are because I haven't seen one yet, do all your shopping and then walk out again, and in the meantime all your shopping's been tabulated and the price has been totaled and deducted from your account. You walked in, you grabbed everything and you walked out. No sign of money. Walk in, do your shopping, walk out. Signs of the times? I've never seen that done before.
Scan as you go around.
Yeah? Got the congregation talking amongst themselves now, so it must be exciting. That's exciting. Worrying. Or is it worrying? So you just walk in, you take the stuff and you go. While the facility agrees that you've got credit. If the facility that's using you or dealing with you says you have no credit, believe me, you have no credit. You will not be walking out with that stuff. You'll be arrested. Everything's hunky-dory. Whatever hunky-dory. What does hunky-dory mean? I don't know. I must look that one up. Can you Google that for me, John? Hunky-dory. What does hunky-dory mean? You know, your parents, all our parents here, will probably think what I've just said is fake news. It's completely unbelievable, isn't it? My dad would have said, don't be ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But how far have we come now? If you hadn't experienced it yourself, would you believe it could have happened? And let alone actually, it works. It works, this thing. I knew when I first started using my computer and doing internet banking, I knew as soon as I started doing it, I stopped writing invoices, putting them in an envelope, putting a stamp on, sending them out. I look back at that now and think, I haven't got the time to do that. I can't even afford the stamps. I knew once I started doing online banking and doing invoices by email, there was no return. There was no way back. We have entered into an era which is leading us one way to something. We don't quite know what it is, but we're going somewhere. It's never happened before in all history. Now then, not long ago, the value of an amount of currency was dependent on how much gold you could buy with it. Hence, collecting gold has always been a smart thing to do, a safe thing to do, if you had enough money to buy gold. Recently, if you remember, there was a spate of shops, especially in Boston, who've been offering cash for gold. Yeah? Not so much now, I think. But there is something going on in the background that is, for me, slightly concerning, to say the least. And it's not to do with gold. I'll tell you what it's about. My eldest son is quite bright. He's got a PhD now in physics. He's quite a bright guy. And when he was in university somewhere around 2011, that's what, 7 years ago, is it? He became aware of a new kind of experimental currency. Experimental currency? It wasn't too much different from the currency we use nowadays, except that it was all virtual. It didn't really exist. So when you move money around on your bank accounts, does it really exist? It's similar, isn't it? Except that you can cash it in and get something in your hand. In other words, there were no banknotes or coins associated with this virtual currency. It depended on encrypted data, encryption, codified, being exchanged as currency. Not too different from what we already do. Except it's not related to anything except a perceived value. I say that word, a perceived value. It's like the emperor's new clothes, right? A perceived value. If you think something's got value to you, it has. If you can sell your house for £200,000 to somebody, it's because that person thinks it's worth £200,000. If you can't sell it, it's not worth it to anybody, because you won't get it. It's a perceived value. In other words, if you think it's got value, then for you, it has. So, back to my son. In his curiosity, he decided to buy a small amount of what are known as bitcoins. Who's heard of bitcoins? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, quite a few. And he decided to buy a small amount of bitcoins for about 20 quid. Because he's a student, he wouldn't have spent much more than that, would he? It wasn't long after that that he decided to donate them to WikiLeaks. My son. Why would he do that? I don't know why, but obviously he didn't think that they were going to be worth much and possibly end up being worth nothing, actually, if it was just a sort of a scam or whatever, a fad that crashed or faded away, which is what happens in today's society. These things go whee, and then they go whoosh, gone. Somebody just earned a load of money and you haven't. Anyway, it is known these days as cryptocurrency. I'm getting nodding heads now. Some people have heard of cryptocurrency. And it comes in different forms, some of which you may have heard of. Bitcoin is the famous one. Litecoin is another one. Ethereum is another one. Zcash, Dash, Ripple, Monero. Gosh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? You think, well, they can't possibly be anything. But if you haven't heard of any of those, I believe you soon will. The amazing thing about this currency is that it's universal. It's universal. I.e. there is no exchange rate because it is the same value throughout the whole world. Maybe you think I'm going off on a tangent here and on a hobby horse or messing about with conspiracy theories. But if my son had bought, say, £1,000 worth of those bitcoins 7 years ago, they would be now worth about £1,000,000. And I could hardly believe that, what he said to me. But the growth rate of cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, has outstripped many, if not all, other commodities, including things like oil and gold. It's gone straight off the internet. And I can tell you, because I looked on the internet yesterday just to look at what it said, and one Bitcoin, bearing in mind that my son had bought a small handful of them for 20 quid, one Bitcoin is now worth, quote, £7,655 sterling and 4 pence. So if you want to buy a Bitcoin now, it's going to cost you £7,655. So furthermore, you don't think this is real? There are firms in the United States of America that pay their staff in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. I've seen pictures of cash machines, I think they were in the United States, where you can put banknotes in and get cryptocurrency credit added to your phone, or what is now known as a cryptocurrency wallet, which is a cryptocurrency wallet is a secure digital wallet used to store, send and receive digital currency like Bitcoin. Are you worried? Some people are worried, some people are not worried. Wow. I'm nearly 60, right? And I'm struggling to keep up with this. My common sense always told me that this couldn't or shouldn't work. Even though it appears to be working. And this is why my son ditched it, because he couldn't believe that it was going to work. My reasoning was it couldn't work because the cryptocurrency has nothing backing it up. It isn't anything. It's not based on anything real except the finite amount of virtual coins or numbers that can be created. So there is a finite number. And because it's finite, that means there is an ultimate... You cannot create more than that can be created. If you're with me. So eventually, if they continue to be attractive to people, they become scarce. If they become scarce, and if you still want them, they increase in value. And so now, they don't sell bitcoins, they sell fractions of bitcoins. So in other words, you had one Bitcoin, now you can buy 0.5, 0.01, 0.001 of a Bitcoin. And the other reason that I thought that this wouldn't be allowed, because I was trying to get my head around this, was that the world governments are not able to tax it. And if you can't tax it, why would you allow it? No tax equals no revenue. No government income. So who's in control? But when you see the governments are putting together schemes to tax cryptocurrency, you know that they must be taking it seriously. And if you look into, on Google it, cryptocurrency tax, you will realize they are working out how to tax it. And it includes things like inheritance tax, it includes things like capital gains tax. So my son naturally wishes he'd kept hold of the bitcoins. And I can understand why. I didn't buy any and sometimes wonder if I should have. But more than ever before, I am beginning to see how it would be able to create a one world bank, and also how Revelation 13 could possibly come to reality with one world government and one world ruler. It was beyond understanding until this started happening. And this is what Revelation 13 says, 13 to 18. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men, because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast. He deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number, and the number is 666. Not many people preach on that. And there are lots of conspiracy theories and thoughts of what the mark of the beast is, who the Antichrist will be, what he will be, and when this will happen. All right? And I'm not going to argue or debate about that. But what I'm saying today is the signs are there. As far as I can see, I believe the signs are there. And I can see the signs of the times. Now, most Christians would agree that we're living in the last days. Otherwise, why would you be saying we're living in the last days? Everybody's saying it. And are longing for the return of Christ. I am one of them. And I'm watching very carefully for what is happening in Israel, in the Middle East, in particular. But I'm seeing signs all over the place that are indicators that certain prophecies are being fulfilled. Now, you might find this interesting. I found this interesting because you should be asking yourself, who invented cryptocurrency? Where did it come from? How could anybody possibly work that out, introduce it, and it works? Who did it? Anybody know who did it? Nobody knows who did it, right? But this is what we do know. The name given to the person who supposedly invented it, the name is Satoshi Nakamoto, born on the 5th of April 1975, supposedly aged 42. He's claimed to be Japanese and he's known for inventing Bitcoin, implementing the first blockchain. You wouldn't be able to buy off Amazon or eBay if blockchain didn't exist. He deployed the first decentralized digital currency. His career involved digital currencies, computer science, and cryptology. Cryptography is called. Nakamoto was not disclosed, he has not disclosed any personal information about himself. And when he is anonymously discussing technical matters, so some have speculated he is unlikely to be Japanese due to his use of perfect English. And his Bitcoin software has not ever been documented or labeled in Japanese. Occasional British English spelling and terminology, such as the phrase, I won't say it, be hard, very hard, in both source code comments and forum postings, led to the speculation that Nakamoto, or at least one individual in the consortium claiming to be him, was of Commonwealth origin. You don't know who it is, but it's a plan, I think. It would seem that the man has created something here. And it wasn't long ago that somebody like, I think it was Bill Gates, said he could see the end of the use of passwords because it's too difficult to remember passwords, isn't it? I was on the TalkTalk help desk recently. It's one of my topics. TalkTalk, you know. And the lady, poor lady on the other side, was struggling and she said, I've got to remember 5 passwords. And I can't remember which one to use in this case. I thought, that's a sign. She's got 5 passwords, poor woman. Can't remember which one to put in. The signs are everywhere. But some things remain unchanged. Jesus is still the way. He is still the truth. He is still the life. He is still the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods. And he knows what is going on. And he holds our future in his hands. And as worrying as this is, you've got nothing to fear at all if you belong to him. If you don't, you might fall for this eventually. When it becomes imposed on you, you will have no choice. I'll finish now with something encouraging from Revelation 21:6. Jesus said, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To him or her who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Everything that's worth anything in this world is from God. And most things of any value are free. Love is free. Salvation is free. Blood of Jesus is free. Fellowship is free. Prayer is free. The Bible is free. The Word is free. The Holy Spirit is free for the asking. Everything is free. Because God created all those things and made them good. We've got nothing to worry about. But they're the signs, and they're there. And if that doesn't make you want to pray more and seek God more, then all you're going to do is worry about it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you all of us, Lord, that you are in control, that this is not something that's running away without your permission. We know, Lord, that when we read from Revelation, a lot of it is difficult to understand, and it is almost impossible to work out a timescale, Lord. But you tell us to watch, to keep our eyes on Jerusalem and Israel, and to see what is going on, so that we would not be fooled. You would not have us to be ignorant, Lord. Help us to reassess what is valuable in our lives. Help us to care and love one another, Lord, and to share our testimony of how we were saved from the world. We're living in the world, Lord, but we're not of the world. And this system that we've been talking about is of the world, ultimately. And it's about control. Lord, we want to be controlled exclusively by you and your Holy Spirit. And we recommit ourselves to you this very day. We give ourselves afresh to you, Lord. We dedicate ourselves to you, and we ask you time and time again, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Send us out into the world in these last days. Thank you, Jesus, for paying a price we could never even attempt to pay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.